Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Blessed in Jesus, bro.
Amen, amen. And also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome in the Lord.
You know, praise God. We actually want to start off this show with a praise report because it's not, you know, we want to make sure you guys know that we are blessed when you write us. We are blessed when you text us, you find me on Facebook or Instagram or something, and or you find the page or whoever it is, and you let us know that you're being blessed. And we received this from a new convert, actually. He was on the streets playing music and stuff and recently came to Christ, and he said, "Dude, I'm loving these podcasts. You go deep and keep it focused on the truth, and it keeps me grounded in Jesus. Much appreciated." And guys, that is why we're doing this. We're doing this to ground people in Jesus. We're also doing this so you guys can fortify, you guys can be edified, you guys can go out with the sword and go out there with the sword of the Spirit, Lord, and go out there with the belt of truth and go out there with the Word of God and share it with others and bring new converts as well. And speaking of new converts, we've been talking about for the last two episodes now, Kanye West is supposedly a convert to Christ, has made a profession of faith, says he's born again, says he's come to a new life in Christ, and even came out with an album, Jesus is King, which he certainly is. So we wanted to take a look at some of the things that he's come out of. Last episode, we dealt with a lot of the stuff that he was formerly about, he says, and dealing with his own words, saying that Satan is literally running music, which is something that, as a ministry with Good Fight Ministries, Pastor Joe's been saying that for 40 years, doing presentations.
Almost
40 years, just under, all right? But it's really it's an exciting time because people are talking about this stuff. But I do think, in all honesty, Joe, with all the stuff I see, people aren't mentioning the fact that Satan is involved in music when it comes to this. Now, I'm not talking about those coming against Kanye, like with X Ministries and G. Craig Lewis and all those guys saying, "Hey, no, this is demonic." Okay, even his conversion's probably not true, you know. But just dealing with the fact that, hey, he's openly saying this stuff is satanic. But one of the things we want to talk about is some of the bondages that he talked about coming out of. And he said, and this is from XXL Magazine, he said, quote, Like for me, Playboy was my gateway into full-on pornography addiction. My dad had a Playboy left out at age 5, and it affected almost every choice I made the rest of my life. From age 5 till now, having to kick the habit, and it just presents itself in the open like it's okay. And I stand up and say, no, it's not okay. And not only that, but he actually received a bunch of backlash because of something that happened on an October 13 episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, his wife being Kim Kardashian. And most people, without, even if you don't know Conway Twitty, I guess, I don't want to know him too much either. But even if you don't know Kanye that well, most people have heard of Kim Kardashian. And Keeping Up with the Kardashians is one of the more prominent reality TV shows of all time, if not the most. And this is what happened on that show. He said, quote, in the show, I went through this transition where being a rapper, looking at all these girls and looking at my wife like, oh, my girl needs to be just like the other girl, showing off their body. He said, I didn't realize that that was affecting my soul and my spirit as someone who is married and the father of now about to be 4 kids. And then he also said, social media prompts women in particular to put out content that they wouldn't in the past. When I was younger and I wanted to see something like that, I had to pay someone who was older. Now I have friends who have kids in high school and it's readily available. You know, we talk about that and warn people about pornography all the time. You know, I've counseled guys that talk about the addiction they have on their phone with their family sitting next to them at dinner or watching TV with their mom and their little sister next to them. And still, guys, it's serious. Okay, so this is a serious, serious problem.
Last Sunday's message was, let's talk about sex.
Amen. Yeah, and if you guys want to, Tony will put a link on that, and make sure you go to about the 53-minute mark. I think, no, not to... It's about an hour and 53 minutes, somewhere around there.
Skip the first, hour plus.
Yeah, hour plus, and you'll get to the message. And guys,
we had a guest speaker, which was great too. But
yeah, amen. And guys, don't think that these bondages aren't satanic. And that's not. And the thing is we want to talk about it and say, hey, guys, this is satanic. This is how Satan's going to grab you. And it's a fact, okay? And if you don't want to listen to us, you can hear from other those guys grabbed in bondage. And in fact, Kanye, when he first met his pastor, had to come up to him and explain this to him as well. Tony, if you have that clip.
Pastor, I got to talk to you for a minute. I'm like, yeah, man, what's up? He said, about 5 weeks ago, I got radically saved. Mm. And I'm like, hey, man, what does that mean? What do you mean you got radically saved? And he just started telling me a little bit of his testimony. And, you know, it basically went something like he was raised knowing that God existed. He was told about Christ, that his dad was a Christian counselor, that he had been in church, and then he'd been running from God, you know, and he made it big in the industry and as a African-American rapper and just all the popularity and all the fame. He just started chasing all the things of this world. But he said that it basically... He just felt so a weight of sin, and the guilt of sin brought him down low. And he would say, you know, the devil basically just brought him to a place where he just felt like he was in bondage to his sin. Mm.
So what do you think, Joe? What do you think about that?
Well, it's praise God. Anytime you realize people, you know, Jesus died as our substitute to take our sins upon himself. And he became sin for us. We become the righteous of God, the great exchange, right? But also deliver us from the powers of darkness, you know, as victor. And, I mean, I believe in a kaleidoscopic view of the atonement. It has many beautiful ramifications. At its foundation, Christ dying in our place, taking our sin upon himself. And if he's embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, you know, if people want to check, you know, more deeply into what he was into, look at the last episode. We went really in depth. He was some very deep demonic stuff. He was channeling demons and everything. So we're hoping and praying that he is fully delivered from whatever he was into. But it's only through the cross and through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have deliverance. So our hope and prayer is that he's truly embracing Jesus. Yet I mentioned in the last episode, there's, you know, three views. One is, you know, oh, it's impossible for, you know, God to save someone like that. Can't happen. He can't be saved. That's ridiculous. God can save whoever he, you know, draws to himself that responds to him. And number two, there's the other aspect I mentioned where people just hook, line, and sinker. They say, oh, yeah, he's a Christian for sure. He lets buy his music and spread his music around and go to his concerts and promote Kanye as a new leader in the church right after his new confession. So both those are extremes because we should take a wait and see, a pray, wait and see mentality, and that's what we've been doing. But we've also been examining what's going on, and we have a lot of legitimate concerns about what's going on in his life as far as the professing Christian leadership influences. Now, that's one of the things we want to tackle in the show.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know I've been around Joe when he's shared the gospel a number of times, and when people have even prayed to receive Christ, and one thing that I know Joe loves to do is take them immediately. Just like, you know, the pastor, I think, did a good job when he said, I'm saved. He said, well, what does that mean? You know, and he asked him, you know, and having that weight lifted off the bondage sin, those are all really good answers. And one of the things about the parable of the sower is that's what Joe likes to take him through in Matthew chapter 13. And I was just going to read from it a little bit in Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 18. It says, here then the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And on the one whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands finds it, and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we're going to look at, in this episode, some of the ways that the enemy already, guys, just from stuff we've listened to on interviews we're going to be talking about, some of the stuff we've seen in terms of reporting of what's going on, and some of his own words that were saying, hey, let's hope that he's not one of these other three soils. Let's hope he's that last one that hears, understands it, and indeed bears fruit. Amen.
Yeah, amen. I mean, I didn't know you were bringing the parable of the sower up, but that's perfect because in Mark 4, he talks about persecution. Jesus does in that same parable. He gives the idea of persecution as being one of the reasons that someone falls away. And in Luke 8, he talks about those who hold fast to the word, right? Bear fruit. Very similar to Matthew. But one of the concerns there is, he talks about that, you know, those who believe for a while, but in time of temptation fall away. That's right after he talks about those who believe and are saved. He talks about those who believe for a while. The word's choked out, like, through the cares and the affairs of this world and the worries of life. And that is a concern because you want your eyes to be totally on Jesus. And I know one of our concerns is with regard to some of those men who are surrounding him are word, faith, prosperity, gospel teachers, those who, you know, basically name it, claim it, God wants you rich and so forth. And that's one of the concerns we have. Joel Osteen has been rumored to have been, you know, trying to get in touch with him and, you know, talking to him allegedly and inviting him to his church. And he's, you know, he's a health and wealth gospel guy. And before you know it, his eyes can be focused on. And the only thing he's got going for him in that regard, he's already incredibly rich. He's got like this, he says, a $3 billion dollar company where he might not be as tempted by that stuff. But there is the idea that he needs to be able to let those things go and put Jesus first and put that money in Jesus' hands.
Yeah.
Not in Joel Osteen's, though.
Yeah, definitely not in Joel Osteen's. In fact, I'll read a little bit. People Magazine and also TMZ reported that they have a source within his camp that basically said, quote, it's true, Kanye is very interested in going and spending more time with Joel. They are friends. They message each other a lot. They have deep conversations. And maybe he will go when it fits his schedule. He wants to learn how churches do things, okay? I don't know why anyone would want to learn how that church does anything, but I will side. I understand you could be very ignorant, but, you know, I pray because he does say that the pastor we mentioned before, he does say that's his pastor. He said live on audio, I go to a small congregation in California and that he, and who his pastor is, okay? So hopefully, if that who is who's shepherding him, hopefully he's telling him, stay away from Joel. But I will say this, there was something that did happen, and I believe I first saw it on Reformation Charlotte. There was something that did happen that he said during one of those Sunday services that does seem very Joel Osteen-ish, and I'll just read it real quick. He said, quote, this is from Kanye during one of his services on a Sunday. He said, and it's going to be a whole bunch of people call me like you ain't supposed to mention that in Sunday service stuff, but this something God put on my heart. I got family locked up. And then it be pastors that want to talk about, ah, T.D. Jake said this. He ain't saved. He wasn't pure to the Bible. But then they can't tell you a black pastor that they like, though. It's a divide in Christianity. That's what I've seen since I've been saved. I'm an early convert. I'm just on stage because I'm yay. Here's what I see. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, then you know the gospel. That's the gospel. Don't be telling me Mormons got an extra book and Catholics do this. It's simple. Christians, we be making it too hard for people to come and be involved in this. And I heard Joel Osteen sadly say something very similar about Hindus even on the Larry King show when asked if they have Jesus. So guys, we do want to be careful. We do want to say and point that out. And this is where a perfect time for correction comes, right? This isn't damning. This is correction. You want to say your convert? Correct.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's going to have a lot of, you know, like vultures over carcass, man. Just all kinds of false teachers gravitating to him, trying to get into his inner circle. And he's going to be hearing a lot of false things. So if he's true, I mean, we're praying that, you know, God would, you know, give him by the power of his spirit, which 1 John talks about the anointing that teaches us all truth, you know, that his Holy Spirit would guide him to all truth, that he would be leaning on the Lord, and that he's not, wouldn't be part of a bigger agenda, whether it's what Satan does in the secular world or what Satan does through false prophets. We want to make sure he's going to get scooped up by those guys. At the same time, we've got to watch, you know, has he truly been totally been delivered from the entities that were using him in the past? And that's a huge concern. So we're praying for him, but even the, you know, surround himself with some of the people that, you know, have that word faith background, that prosperity gospel. I mean, that's a false gospel. You know, we're going to have an episode this week on what is the gospel. And we're going to deal with some of the false gospels that are out there and contrast it with the true gospel. But it's interesting, when I was going through the lyrics of his album, at one point he's praying for a bunch of different things, and one of the things he cries out to in his prayer is, God, give me wealth, you know? And he's already got a $3 billion company, so it's like interesting. I mean, we're really not supposed to be, I mean, if there's a need and you want to do ministry and you're praying, Lord, can you fund this ministry and so forth, or if you need, you know, let's say you're, you know, trying to, you know, have money for your family or what have you. I'm not saying you can't pray for money. I think all of us have prayed for God to meet our needs according to his riches and glory. But we have to be careful that our focus, and that's my concern, is the focus is wealth with a lot of these prosperity teachers. And Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9 says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. So scripturally, you know, we're supposed to be content, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, with food and clothing and so forth. And Jesus said, you know, not to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, thieves don't break in and steal. You know, we're either going to serve God or mammon. Jesus said we hate one and love the other, and mammon's money. So we have to make sure that's the idol of this age. That's the American idol, is money and power and so forth. So it's important that we understand that there's, you know, the rich young ruler had it all, man, had all kinds of money and everything. And Jesus kind of put it in line with him. And since that was his idol, you know, Jesus said, hey, give everything up and follow me. Because that guy said, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm keeping all the commandments. And he couldn't. He kept holding that idol. And he left sad. It says Jesus loved him. He wanted them to be saved, but that guy went the other way. So let's hope that the idol of fame and power and finances is not fanned in the name of Christ by false teachers.
Yeah, and you think of Paul's pastoral epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, instruct those who are rich in the present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous. Amen. And ready to share. I think that's ultimately, that's what whoever's pastoring and teaching over him needs to be, continually preaching to him. Not absolutely. That don't beg for more wealth, just beg that the Lord would do more with whatever you have.
Yeah.
You know,
be
just
blessed,
like the widows
but
might,
use your money to help the poor, use your money to spread the gospel, use your money to, you know, get the truth out.
Yeah, amen. And also, guys, it's not just the Joel Osteens of the world. We also see, even in an interview that both Joe and myself, we watch, and then Tony as well, we all watched this interview, and we thought a lot of what the guy who self-proclaimed by...
We all watched it separately, had the same, oh, Lord God, have mercy.
Yeah, our hearts kind of dropped, all three of us, probably at the same time, you know, if we were all sitting next to you, you could have saw our countenance fall.
We didn't know each other watching the same interview either, it's kind of funny.
And one of the hard things is that you can see this battle of the true gospel going off, and when I'm watching it in the interview, and then I see this, and so did Tony, and so did Joe, and then we all came together and talked, and both said, ah, you know, did you want to pull your hair out when that's the nonsense coming forth? And Tony, maybe we could play the clip real quick.
Yeah, this isn't the, let's say just a little bit more. This isn't the false doctrine of, you know, prosperity gospel. This is a twist of Calvinism, where the man who's discipling him is a teacher at John MacArthur's master's seminary. He's a 5-point Calvinist. He's been interviewed by Calvinists, and he's a Calvinist, and he's the one who's pastoring, or one of the men that's speaking into this Kanye's life, but the one who he has recently called his expository pastor. So keep that in mind, because he's going to be asked about the doctrines of grace. Doctrines of grace is basically a Calvinist way of saying TULIP, the 5 points of Calvinism, what makes Calvinism distinguished from, you know, historical early Christianity.
I'm sure you're starting to feel like Kanye's like Christian spokesperson here, but I haven't heard anybody ask you this question. Would you say that Kanye is holding to the doctrines of grace?
I don't think that he would know what those are at this moment.
Not yet.
I mean, we talk
Praise
about
God.
More of the solas than the Reformed doctrines of grace than TULA. So I have not spelled out TULIP for him, you know, and just walked him through that. I mean, I'll say things here and there like, hey, man, God chose you. You know, so it's just kind of being faithful to Scripture. Yeah.
Does he know that for sure?
Tackling that right away. I don't know how he would respond. I'm not against doing that. I'm sure at some point we're going to have to get into.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that according to in this same interview, he says that he sat down with him for 3 hours to share from the Scriptures. And I find it so interesting that as much as I like Charles Spurgeon, a lot of quotes, I've quoted him before, he said that Calvinism is the gospel. But you're listening to a pastor who teaches at Master's Seminary say that he sat down for 3 hours with somebody to explain the gospel, and guess what? Never came up, Joe.
Yeah.
One single point.
That's right. And in other words, he gave him the salvation message, and not only justification, but sanctification. They talked about sanctification, and he still didn't feel the need to bring up the 5 points of Calvinism. So it's just amazing. It's just, I think I was more irked because what Calvinists do, a lot of us go to the highways and byways and we win people to Christ. Then the Calvinists wait for people to get to their churches and they seek to convert them to John Calvin. And it breaks my heart because they become twice the child of hell often. I mean, I had a man in our fellowship for years who was converted over to Calvinism before he got here. And he was attracted to our fellowship because he saw the love and the word of God was being preached. And for years, he came for a few years. And the whole time, he felt because of Calvinism, he couldn't be one of the elect, you know. Felt he was not chosen. There's no way he could be chosen. And it was just so heartbreaking. And many, many Calvinists has come to that conclusion that they're not one of the elect and God just didn't choose them and they can't make a choice to accept the gospel because guess what? There's no free will. Everything's predetermined. So it was heartbreaking when I heard that because I thought, man, could you see him being taught? He's already told them a little. He's already said, hey, you're chosen. The Bible teaches election. The Bible talks about those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So he foreknows people in Christ. He knows who will come to Christ and will not. And those who believe as believers, he predestines them to become like Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, talks about those who are the elect, the chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God. The scriptures clearly only mentions election and predestination a handful of times in the New Testament regarding persons and salvation. And two of the times it mentions it in connection to foreknowledge. So God knows who's going to because he's omniscient. He knows everything. Everything eternal now is before him always. So he knows who would receive Christ, who wouldn't. And those who receive Christ are among the elect. He sees those who receive him and turn to him, repent, and accept the gospel. Those who reject. But in Calvinism, there's just a small elect group amount of people that God predetermines by divine fiat and just says, you know, boom, you're saved no matter what. You're not going to fall away. And you're one of the chosen ones. And the rest I've chosen to be damned for eternity. And it would break my heart to see that he's being taught, which is, praise God. I praise God. I heard this pastor say, and I know he's a Calvinist being interviewed by Calvinists. I know Durbin and those guys are, you know, they believe a different form of Calvinism. They don't believe God wills that all would be saved. They don't believe God wills, you know, that none would perish and that all would come to repentance and so forth. Where the Calvinist that goes to MacArthur, he believes God wills that all would be saved, but he believes that God has a secret will where he wants to damn most. I know it's confusing, but they're both jacked up and wrong. But either way, what's happening is they're wanting him to teach them. They're saying, hey, does he know the five doctrines of grace? They're wanting him to receive John Calvin or Calvin's doctrines into his heart, you know? And it just breaks my heart because can you see Kanye coming out telling the world, yeah, you know what? I want to tell you guys all the good news and just here's the good news, world, that I've learned, you know? Is I learned that God created most of you because he wants you to be damned. You didn't have a choice in your salvation because before you did good or bad, he predetermined that you would go to hell before you ever existed. And there's a small amount of you that are part of the elect, that they're the only ones that Jesus truly died for. And it's good news for them, but for the rest of you, this is obviously not good news. And you know what? And those of you who are believing, praise God, I think, because he might have given you evanescent grace and deluded you into making you think that you're saved because he does that too, per John Calvin in his commentary on Hebrews chapter 6. And you may fall away later because you were never really saved in the first place and be damned forever, but you might not be one of those guys. So praise God for the good news. You know what? I mean, that just jacks people up, you know? Unless you're so arrogant where you're sure that you don't have evanescent grace and you're sure that you're one of God's special elect and you're not going to fall away and so forth, and you just, you know, put your head in the air saying I'm one of the elect and you guys need to come to John Calvin so you can have the same kind of feelings about yourself that I have.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, it says, for I delivered unto you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And once you accept that you are totally depraved, unconditionally elect.
Now you're adding to it, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. That, you're adding Calvinism
to it. It
does
not say that, and that is exactly why that pastor did not explain that for a three-hour conversation, okay? And that's exactly why when he presented the gospel.
I'm glad that Calvinistic pastor did not program him and indoctrinated into Calvinism. By the way, isn't it interesting that he didn't see the need to, you know?
Yeah.
And also keep, interesting, did you notice he also said, is he reading his Bible a lot? Because if he read his, you know, he didn't ask him, is he reading his Bible a lot? Because of course he'd become a Calvinist if he reads his Bible. No. He says, has he accepted the doctrine of grace? In other words, have you taught him that which he's not going to clearly read in the Bible on his own? Because guess what? It's a priesthood where you have to be indoctrinated by men into that doctrine.
No, exactly. And
I'm sorry I get fired up over this.
No, amen. You know, we wanted to start down that rabbit trail for a reason. But this is very important because these are those doctrines that do cause hiccups. Look at the lead singer of Cademan's Call.
Yeah.
You know,
we just did a show on him.
Oh, man, that's so heartbreaking. Every time I hear him talk, he's like, I'm just dead. I can't wake up. You know, there's nothing I can do there. Yeah, Lazarus.
Yeah, yeah. He says he's Lazarus. Now, the background of this, I don't know, maybe it was 2 months ago or so. I don't know how long ago. We just did a music on Christian music and what to be careful of. I took that song out that he wrote.
Prove Me Wrong, yeah.
Yeah, Prove Me Wrong, where he says he's fearful that he's not one of the elect. He's right as a Calvinist and that he's been chosen for hell and so forth. And my heart just broke for him because he's under this the weight of this delusion. He's lamenting without any assurance because as a Calvinist, you can't know for sure that Jesus died for you because he only died for a few compared to the majority that go to the broad road of destruction. So the odds are he didn't die for you. And according to Jay Adams, one of the leading Calvinist teachers, that the counselor should not tell the counselee that Jesus died for them because nobody knows who Jesus died for. How can you have assurance of salvation if you don't know that Jesus died for you? So he writes this song. We're lamenting over this, right? Yeah, and that's just one example of false doctrine in songs. And guess what? Just not too long later, right? Chad was sharing, not only this first time been brought up in our show, that the same guy totally fell away from God. You know?
Yeah, totally.
That's our concern, guys, is there's horrible fruit. Look at the Netherlands, man. I've been there doing Christian crusades, preaching the gospel 4 or 5 times, and I see the Calvinism all over the place, and people are just dead. What was it? Also, Westboro Baptist, 5-point Calvinistic church. And
yeah, I was going to mention that.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
mention that.
Actually, interesting enough, it was something that I was waiting until we have the studio to address, but we'll deal with it at more length. But listening to Joe Rogan and listening to a clip, and one of my wrestlers told me to listen to this clip of Megan Phelps from, guess what, the Westboro Baptist. By the way, if you guys don't know about the Westboro Baptist, know that it's pretty much just a bunch of family members, but the media thrusts them in front of everybody.
As though they're this big church.
Yeah, as though there's like this mega church that everyone listens to, and this is what all the Christians that if you're against homosexual marriage and you know that it is a sin for a man and a man and a woman to be together, then guess what? You're just one of those Westboro Baptists, okay? And she went on Megan Phelps.
Which is what all of Christianity had believed earlier on, by the way.
Yeah, amen.
What the Bible teaches.
And Megan Phelps went on Joe Rogan's show and literally said, here is why I'm an atheist, and read from Romans 9 in the completely, just absolutely butchered context without any theology
with John
from
Calvin
Paul,
lenses
from John,
on.
Yeah.
John Calvin eyeglasses on, right?
Because if you know anything about the Westboro Baptist, they are 5-point Calvinists, and that is exactly why they go out and tell you that, you know, they're disgusting signs that they have.
Right. So there's a huge concern. We're sharing this because it sounds like he may be getting indoctrinated in the future with 5-point Calvinism. It sounds like there's some Word of Faith people around him. But you know what? We love him as a soul. We pray for him. I look at that guy, and I just say, Father, in Jesus' name, please truly reach him. It seems like he may be sincere, Lord. I don't know for sure, but may he bow before you. May he not look for the accolades of any man. May he look at what your word says. May he be at the feet of Jesus, Father, and totally give himself over, totally over to you, Lord God, because your eyes go to and fro throughout the earth looking for those who you can strengthen. And may he be happy to be humble before you and used however you will to use him. In the meantime, Father, may we have our eyes open and pray for him and not just jump on the bandwagon either, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.